So he calls an architect to draw it up for him. He tells the architect, this is my plan for this land. What do you think we can do? And the architect draws something up. Now, unlike man, before we were bought, God had a plan. The plan of the man buying a land is according to the land. His plan is according to the size of the land. But God says, before you were born, I already had a plan for you. The enemy tried to derail the plan. So at redemption, he erases the plan of the enemy and puts up his original plan for us. He cancels out the plan of the enemy and puts up his original plan for us. And this plan is revealed to us by his architect, the Holy Spirit. The architect reveals the plan to us. Isaiah 29, 11 to 12. He says, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I am not learning. The Holy Spirit has his plan for us, but we have a responsibility to engage him to reveal the plan. Once my plan has been revealed, because you know I cannot lie, I will bring the plan to pass. 1 Samuel 15:29, it says, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should lie. The strength of Israel will not lie. What you may be seeing may be contrary to what is said concerning you, but there is a weapon that brings what he has said to come to pass. That's what we are going to be engaging this month, the weapon of praise and priestly blessings. The weapon of praise to turn things around. The weapon of praise to turn things around. Where you want to be is not what you are, where you are. As a matter of fact, what he showed you about Canada is not what you are seeing. But those things will turn around for your good. Yeah. I didn't hear your amen. Yeah. I said it's turning around for your good. Yeah. Praise is celebrating what is written, despising what is happening. Praise is celebrating what is written, despising what is happening. What is written is eternal. What is happening is temporal. As a matter of fact, what is written has capacity to change what is happening. So we are celebrating what is written and not what is happening. What is happening may not allow us to celebrate him, but we will still celebrate him because of what is written. The Bible speaking in 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For while we look not at the things which are seen, but for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. While we look not at the things which are seen, when you look at the things which are seen, you will not be able to give God praise. Because the things that are seen can hold you down, hold you bound from praising him. And until you praise him for what is written, what is happening will not change. So we are engaging praise to change what is happening to what is written. And very quickly, let's take a look at what is written. What is it that is written about us that needs to be changed in praise? What is it that is written about us that needs to be changed, that God needs to change to what is happening can be changed in praise to what is written? Number one, what prophetic word in scriptures for us as believers? We are royalty. Tell your neighbor, you are royalty. You are not an ordinary person. Isaiah 62 verses 1 to 3. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory. In other words, I want to prove to the Gentiles that you are not their mates. Glory to God. He says, I want to show you off, all the kings thy glory, and to show the kings of the earth that your glory is brighter than theirs. He says, and the Gentiles shall see, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. All kings will see thy glory. So kings will see your, which means you are more glorified than kings. There are levels of kings. There are levels of kings. There are kings that bow down to kings. So in this case, the King of Glory is saying, your royalty surpasses the royalty of kings of the earth. He says, I want to prove to them that your glory will surpass the glory of the kings of the earth. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. So the Lord himself will give you a name. Amen. Thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. And a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. In other words, you are a crown of glory, a royal diadem. I looked to the word. What does it mean? Royal diadem means royal dignity or authority. It means a cloth, headband, sometimes adorned with jewels, formerly worn by monarchs in Asia and other parts of the East. I said, no wonder. It's a crown that separates the royalty. It says it is worn in the parts of the East. Did you remember what God said about Job? Let me show you quickly. Job chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. East in those days is where royalty lived. Even in their royalty, Job was still more. He can't be compared to them. His substance couldn't be compared to them. I said, no wonder. Tell your neighbor again, you are royalty. We are redeemed as kings on the earth, not just in the East now, but on the earth. We are royalty, and that means we have a royal destiny in Christ. How you look now does not matter. What you look like now does not matter. As a matter of fact, where you are now is irrelevant. What this book says is what I believe. And it says you are royalty. Tell yourself, I'm royalty. He said, maybe you don't understand. Let me explain. 1 Peter 2, 7 to 9. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at thy word, being disobedient, whereunto as they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye show forth the praises of him which hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. No matter how, what are they called? News people. No matter how they say one person is no longer, does not belong to royalty, he's still royalty. I mean, understand what I'm talking about. No matter how you try to bring him down and say, no, you are no longer royalty, he's still royalty. Anywhere anybody sees him is rank adidasa. Because the blood of royalty still flows in him. And the Bible says, it does not matter who is looking down on you. It does not matter who thinks you are stupid. You are still royalty. So behave and act as one. Tell yourself, I'm royalty. So when somebody abuses you now, the next thing, don't you know who, our royalties don't do that. Glory to God. When somebody abuses you, you say, oh, it is well. Because you are royalty. That is where you are going. Amen. Number two, we have an enviable destiny. Gentiles are to be envying us and not the other way around. Just like Isaac was envied. The Bible says concerning Isaac in Genesis 26 verses 1 to 2, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Isaac, don't run away from here. In the same land where you thought there was nothing for you, in this same land you will still be envied. The same land. The same land. Many of you are thinking, I made a mistake. Is it a mistake, God, that I made coming here? Things look like not working. In this same land, you will still be envied. Amen. I said, in this same land, you will still be envied. Amen. In this same land, someone will still be envied. He says in Genesis 12 now, 26 verse 12, then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year an hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man waxed great and went forward. You are going forward. Amen. And grew. You are growing up. And became very great. You will become very great. Yes. It says, for he had possessions of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. It was not like that in the beginning for Isaac. It was not like that for Isaac in the beginning. There was a time he wanted to go down to Egypt. But God said, no, tarry here. Just keep sowing. Just keep praising. And I will change your story. Somebody's story is about to be changed now in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a proof when your story has changed. You will become an object of envy. And this is a proof that you're an object of envy. Everyone that had looked down on you will now want to be your friend. Glory to God. Many years ago as a teenager, I remember the school very well. There were some guys that would knock. I was very quiet. I'm still very quiet. And I wasn't really that much of a people. So there were these people who had cliques. Primary school, that is elementary. There were people who had cliques. And one day we went for a birthday party. And this man was one of the richest people in those days. He had a supermarket. And they gave us a box of chocolates. Very nice box of chocolates. And I took that box to school on Monday. Everybody became my friend. All the people had been trying to talk to for months, for years. Now, all of a sudden, became my friends because of chocolate. But for you, what God will do in your life this season, everybody that has ever looked down on you will begin to envy you now. When a man's ways pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16 and verse 7. Glory to the name of the Lord. Number three, very quickly. We have a mountaintop destiny. That is, we are redeemed for the mountaintop. Habakkuk 3:19. He said, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. I may be on the ground now, but my destination is the mountaintop. And those that are at the top cannot be hid. You can't be at the top and you are hidden. Even when you want to hide, they will still bring you out. When you are trying to hide behind something, they will still, because light cannot be shut. You can't shut light down. Your light is shining so, will shine so bright that even when you are trying to hide, the light will expose you. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. Amen. Matthew 5:13-14. It says, ye are the salt of the earth. It says, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Ye are the light of the world, and a city set on a hill cannot be hid. I said in the first service that an airplane is on the ground is not grounds for insult. Glory to God. I mean, understand what I'm talking about. That an airplane is still on the ground is not grounds for insult. You are looking at the airplane and laughing at him. Where do you want to go now? By the time it gains motion and takes off in the air, after a while, it is lost in the cloud. You can't see it again. That's where you are going. Amen. That's who you are. I said, that's who you are. I said, that's who you are. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high. Above all, the Lord will set you up on high above all nations of the earth. At your place of work, you will be the first. Amen. In business, you will be the first. Amen. In your career, you will be the first. Amen. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. That's what this book says about you. Number four thing that this book says about you, the prophetic word, scriptures that you should believe, we are redeemed for dominion. We are redeemed for dominion. Genesis 1:26-28, God's original plan for us is dominion. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And God blessed them, verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Our sitting position right now is where we look down and dominate those on the floor. That's where we are. We are not to be dominated, we are now in dominion. That's where we are. Bible speaking in Ephesians 6:2-6, he says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And where is our sitting position? Ephesians 1:20, which we wrought far above all principality and power and might and dominion and any other dominion. This dominion supersedes any other dominion. So we are dominating other dominions. Is somebody understanding what God is saying? You are dominating any other dominion. He says, put it back there. He said, in verse 21, far above all principality, we are seated far above principality, far above power, far above any other might, far above any other dominion, and any other name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So our seated position, where we are now, is a dominating position. Is there anything like that? Dominating position, where we dominate everything that is under us. Nothing will come over you again. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number five, very quickly, we are redeemed to be prosperous. No matter how poor you may look now, your destination is a lender. Yes. I didn't hear your amen. Yes. Some of us were here at the last financial training, and we heard from those people that the best way to make money is to be a lender. So you are not the borrower, you are the lender. The lender, that gave me understanding of scriptures. The lender is what? The borrower is servant to the lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. The lender calls the shots. Glory to God. The lender calls the shots. The borrower answers to the dictates of the contract. you are not going, poverty will not be mentioned around you again. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. That's his plan. That none of us will ever walk in poverty anymore. The prophecy is to be a lender. So we need to abide by the requirements of prosperity. What are the requirements of prosperity? 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as the purpose that is in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Someone here, finally, you are living the borrower's league. Amen. I said, somebody here is living the borrower's league. Amen. You know the challenge we have? Some people's mentality cannot still take it. How can you be in Canada and not be a lender, and not be a borrower? That mentality will be changed shortly. Amen. You see, you can't even say amen. Glory to God. Well, how do you recognize a prophetic word? How do you know? How do you recognize a prophetic word? When a prophetic word comes, how do you know that this is actually from God? Let's take a look at a couple of things here very quickly. Number one, when hope is ignited in you, then it is a prophetic word. When hope is ignited in you. The word, when we receive the word, we believe the word, and that word gives us hope, then it's a prophetic word. Any word you hear that ignites hope in you is a prophetic word. It could come in the form of a song, like I said in the first service. Choir may be ministering, and then you hear a word, and then from the lyrics of the ministration, and then it becomes your prophetic word. That's what you are taking home. As we heard last week Sunday from a testimony, your prophetic word but any prophetic word you receive will ignite hope in you. Now listen, what does that mean? Any word that comes to you that makes you lose hope is not from God. Is not a prophetic word. Any word you hear that ignites hope is a prophetic word. Romans 4:18. Who against hope believed in hope that it might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So when he had that word, it gave him hope. And let me explain that very quickly. As the Lord opened my eyes to this, there was one day Abraham started complaining. And God said, he was telling God, it's me, you have not given a child to. It's me, you have not given a child to. And God said, come, let me show you something. God took him out and said, look up now. Abraham looked up. He said, start counting the stars. What do you see? He said, I see stars. He said, start counting. Abraham would count and lose count. Abraham would count and lose count. He said, I can't count. He says, that is how your seed will be. On the earth, you will not be able to count them. And for the first time, the Bible says, and Abraham believed. And Abraham believed. What did he believe? Believed the prophetic word. So when what was happening to him was contrary to that word, the Bible says, against hope, he still believed in hope. Against hope, Abraham still believed in hope. Romans 4:18. Against hope, Abraham still believed in hope. One characteristic of a prophetic word is that it gives you hope. If what they call prophecy is scaring you, I said in the first service, you better drop it. You better run from it. Romans 15:4. Please go back there. God bless you. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Scriptures gives us comfort and gives us hope. If anybody tells you to the contrary, tell them to prove it. Scriptures gives us hope. So when prophecies come, prophecies may first scare you, but the end of any prophetic word, behind it is hope. ICB translation. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that we could have hope. That hope comes from the patience and encouragement that the scriptures give us. Jesus prophesied to Peter. He said to Peter in Luke chapter 22, he said, "Peter, Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." That is, this is the prophecy. Simon, Peter, Simon, Satan already has you in his hands. And this is what he wants to do with you. He wants to be playing hide and seek with you. He already has you in his hands. But if that was all Jesus told Peter, Peter would have been in problem. He would have been running helter-skelter. But that was not all. He says, "But I have prayed for you that," not that the enemy will not come, "but that your faith will not fail. And when thou art converted," that is hope, "you will still be converted, and then you will begin to give hope to others. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." When thou, he didn't say if. He didn't say if you are converted. He says when thou art converted. Why? Because I see what is going to happen, but don't worry, it won't consume you. It won't consume you. If anybody tells you you are wasting your time in Canada, tell them you ain't seen nothing yet. Glory to God. Some of them will call you and say, "Hey, my sister, how are you doing now? How is job there?" And then you will begin this news by saying, "Hey, my sister, it is well, oh. You are still looking unto God." And then to kill your joy and your faith, they tell you, "Oh, I actually just finished building a house now. It's over 50 million naira that I built it." Rather than casting your head down, tell them the truth. "Oh, I just bought a house now. It's over 850 million naira." Don't tell them in dollar. Tell them in naira. Let them go and do the calculation by themselves. Are you understanding what God is saying? Hey, you also bought a house. You bought a house, even if it is 200,000. Calculate it. Tell them in naira. Go and do the calculation by yourself. Go and look for the conversion rate. But your head is now cast down. They are giving you prophecies that will cast your head down. Prophecies brings hope. It is meant to give you hope that, well, if it has happened before, it will happen again. May the Lord give you understanding. Amen. What else comes with it? How do you recognize the prophetic word? When joy and rejoicing is activated in you. Another characteristic of a prophetic word is that it will not just calm you down. Prophetic words will bring joy and rejoicing to your heart. Hannah was depressed. Hannah was bitter. Hannah was praying. Nothing was happening. But a prophetic word came and it changed the story of Hannah. The Bible speaking in 1 Samuel chapter 1, 17 to 18. Then Eli said, that is the prophetic word, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And the Bible says, in all of a sudden, and her countenance was no more sad. Her countenance was no more sad. If the prophetic word is about, they are waving wand on you, and they are saying, "Rebu, Shata, Kita, Kika, hey, I see death, oh. say back to sender. It's not me. I see death here. Say back to sender. Prophetic words are to bring hope and to bring joy. Anything contrary to that is not from heaven. May the Lord give you understanding. I said, may the Lord give you understanding. In Jesus' marvelous name. Psalm 119 and verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I rejoice at thy word. But how do we take hold of the prophetic word? Very quickly. How do we take hold of prophetic word? Number one, by engaging the weapon of praise. Engage the weapon of praise. Proverbs 12 and verse 14. He says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be entered, rendered unto him. If it appears that none of the things we have talked about is happening, engage praise. And that is what we are doing this month, because many people's stories will turn around. Somebody's immigration story will turn around. Somebody's financial story will receive a turnaround. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. What is that fruit? Remember, it says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to his name. You give him his food, he gives you your food. You give him his food, the only thing that God eats is food, is his praise. That's his food. So we give him his food, he gives us our food. We give him his food, he turns his promise into reality. And as we said concerning Abraham, in Romans chapter 4, 17 to 21, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead body of Abraham, the dead body of Sarah, and called those things that be not as though they were. So that gave them hope. And then he says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. Then what happened? So shall thy seed be. That hope eliminated any medical fear. That hope eliminated any bionic fear. That hope eliminated every cultural fear. And then the hope turned to faith. And then he said, and being not weak in faith, he now considered his own body that was now dead, which was making him not to have hope before. He considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I keep going. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, and that led to praise. Strong in faith, leading to praise. That is, if you believe, you will praise him. Irrespective of what is going on. If you believe, you will praise him. And that will be your testimony this time. You give him his food, he sends you your food. He turns things around for us. We give him his food, he turns our story around for us. Now, God has reserved a turnaround heritage for his children on the earth. Proverbs 4:18, this is his plan for us. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Someone, your season of stagnation is finally over. Amen. I said you will not be stagnant again. Amen. He says you have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you not what? Deuteronomy 2 and verse 3. Now please take note. Turnarounds, how many want to receive turnarounds? Turnarounds comes with responsibility. And one weapon that we can use is the weapon of praise. Is the weapon of praise. 2 Chronicles 20, 22 to 24. And when they began to praise, the Lord changed their story. The Lord turned the war in their favor. When they began to praise and to sing, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Moab, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah and were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up, made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, and everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were all dead bodies, falling to the earth, and none escaped. All dead bodies. Whatsoever looked like a mountain to you now, this month of praise, it is turning to your testimony. That mountain will be leveled in the name of Jesus Christ. What does praise do? Praise brings the captain of the war into the matter. Praise brings the captain into the matter. You won't need to beg the captain. The captain automatically shows up when praise goes up. The captain shows up when praise goes up. That was what happened in that prison. Praise, as praise went up, God came down and came down to the foundation of the building. Went to the foundation, to the root of the matter, and scattered everything there. Anything that has been a barrier to your triumph, the King of Glory is coming down now. And he's going to the root of the matter to scatter everything on your behalf. But what are the responsibilities? Be born again, number one. Be born again. If you are not born again, he cannot help you. Be born again or rededicate your life to Jesus. Number two, very quickly, be a consistent servant of God. When serving God becomes a priority, turnaround becomes a reality. When serving God becomes a priority, he said, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be an addition. And when they began to serve him, when they made up their minds to serve him, in 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 12, 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 12, when they made up their minds to serve him, verse 15 said, the Lord gave them rest round about. Be a consistent servant. Not the one they'll be looking for at every point in time. Be a consistent servant. And finally, number three, be a consistent lover of God. Not only when you need something from him. Be a consistent lover or a genuine lover. Genuine lovers, I said in the first service, genuine lovers of God are allergic to stagnation. They cannot be stagnant. God himself said, you have stayed in this mountain long enough. It's time for you to move. It's time for you to move. God's servant, Pastor Isaac Oyedepo, would always say something. He says, there are some people that the floor will reject you. What does that mean? That means you are staying too long on the floor. You need to go up. You need to start flying. You need to start. That will be somebody's testimony here. Yeah. You will quit walking. You will start flying. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Even the enemy means something for evil. When he means something for evil, he turns it to good for you. God's lovers cannot be stranded. Cannot be stranded. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God's genuine lovers cannot be stranded. Cannot be stranded. Just like you would take a bullet for your lover, God will do everything to make sure that you are released. Glory to the name of the Lord. No one here will be stranded again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will somebody rise up on their feet this morning and lift up your hands, give God thanks this morning, give him praise, place a demand for your turnaround first, even in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Place a demand for your turnaround because something is turning around for you. Something is turning around in your favor. Something is turning around in your favor in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something is turning around in your favor in the glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you and blessed be your name. In Jesus, whose marvelous name we have prayed. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. This is how we're going to be doing this month. We are going to praise him. You have had the word that you need to hear. You will praise him for the manifestation of your expectation. For the manifestation of your expectation. And then the priest will release blessings on your life. One thing I'm sure of this month is that there will be multiple testimonies. Amen. One thing I'm sure of this month is that closed cases will be reversed. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whatsoever case may have appeared closed, for you, it is just the beginning. Amen. Those cases will be turned around for your favor. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Is there something God cannot do? He said, bring me into the matter. How will I bring you into the matter? He says, praise me. Release praises and I will come down myself. I won't need to send anyone. I will come personally into the matter and I will change your story. I will turn the story in your favor. That will be somebody's testimony. But before we do that this morning, all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Somebody needs to say, Lord, have mercy on me. I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. If he doesn't know you, he cannot help you. And you know the person you are staying back for also needs help. He can't help you. So if you are in that category, you want to say, Lord, I want to know you as my Lord and Savior. Put your right hand on your heart wherever you are. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. The Lord bless you. God bless you. God bless you, my brother. Put your right hand on your heart. Another set of people is, you knew him before, but you walked out on him. You know in your heart that you are not serving him. You are backslidden, but you want to return to him now. Why not? Also, put your right hand on your heart. Let me pray with you now. Let me pray with you right now. Let me pray with you right now. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, my brother. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Now, if you're in any of those categories, repeat these words after me very quickly. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I'm born again. In Jesus' marvelous name. Amen. Now, still keep your hands there. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. Let the same grace preserve them. Amen. These ones will never go back to perdition again. Amen. They will begin to take root downwards, bear fruit upwards, to the praise and glory of your name. In Jesus' most marvelous name, we have prayed. For those who put their hands on their, somebody is already by your side to assist you right now. Church, I thought you are clapping. I thought you are clapping for Jesus Christ. Somebody else is there. It will just take a minute. Don't worry, it will just take a minute. Let them, glory to God. For everyone that wants to do that, glory to the name of the Lord. Just 1 minute, somebody will talk to you, and then you are part of the family. For somebody online, the text message that is being displayed right, the phone number that is being displayed right now, somebody will get in touch with you, and you are blessed in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many are ready to praise him this morning?